Missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Sun City Resorts and, of course, Times Square, Grand West, and even the Maslow Hotel here in Sandton do remember that they do fall under the Sun International umbrella, a hospitality and gaming group that today published its results and seeing record growth in online gaming, but of course also a beautiful turnaround that has helped to see a sustained recovery within the hospitality space. To tell us more, we are joined by the CEO of Sun International, Anthony Leeming. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Leeming.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Always excited to speak to you about the numbers that we do see. And I guess just looking at the overview of the performance really does show a strong set of results. And I guess it's also underscored by what you describe as a omni-channel portfolio. Elaborate on what this means for us as consumers who interact with your brand.
Yeah, when you look at our portfolio, we have obviously world-class hotels and resorts. We have our sort of urban casinos, LPMs, as well as the online business, which has really grown strongly. And I think looking after the consumer in these different areas and making sure they interact with us, whether they gamble online, play at our casinos, or go stay at Sun City. So that loyalty, that reward, and that recognition of the brand has really worked very well together, enabled us to grow very strongly, in particular in the online space.
Mm. And maybe let's talk online for just a moment, because we do know that betting in South Africa has grown in terms of prominence, but help us contextualize our behavior there. One would have thought we come from a very tough macroeconomic climate. So who's betting? How much are we betting? And what does this tell us about our financial behavior, really?
Well, look, online has grown rapidly over the last 4 or 5 years, and driven first of all by COVID, and secondly by sort of new products being licensed. So, for example, you know, a few years ago, you weren't allowed to do slot games. They were licensed about 2022. And then prior to that was live games licensed, I think, around about just before COVID. So what's been allowed online is certainly opened up, and it's opened up the market and accessibility to gaming products. I think the key issue is, yeah, we've got quite a big country. A lot of people like gambling. And we as operators need to make sure we operate in a responsible manner. We've got to be very wary of the ills in society and the problems can cause. But when you look at it, the bulk of our revenue is coming from a smaller portion, more wealthy portion of the population. Having said that, if you can't afford to lose 1,000 rand and you do, it's not good. And if you can't afford to lose 1 million, it's not good either. So it doesn't matter. We've got a responsibility as operators to make sure we're doing our best to ensure we uncover problem gaming and put a stop to it.
Mm. And I'm intrigued as to how do you do that? Because maybe it's not an experience that many of us might be privy to.
You know, in the casino space is a lot easier. You can see behavior and you can see how people respond, and we are train our people to identify it and take action should arise. But certainly in online space, when it's you don't see the customer and you don't, what we do is we can track behaviors using technology tools. We've looked internationally at best standard practice and what can be done. And we're busy improving our in all areas in this regard. So we're looking at new technologies that will identify people that are showing issues that appear problematic, and you can then give the clients a warning, say take a break, and various other messages that can be sent. At the moment, we have a lot of tools where a person can self-manage themselves, but we need a more proactive approach, and that's what we are working towards at the moment.
Looking forward to seeing how that does shift in terms of consumer behavior, as well as being a lot more disciplined. Maybe let's shift to the hospitality space. I happen to attend a number of conferences, and if you ask me, it seems as though it's been incredibly busy. But maybe talk us through the numbers in terms of what we're seeing there.
Conferencing, I think on the hospitality side, first of all, conferencing was a little bit quieter the first half of the year with elections, but it has picked up strongly, and we have got a very good calendar. We have some great products for the conferencing area, so doing very well. But when you look at local leisure demand, it's really been very resilient, and particularly coming out of COVID, we've done very well. We also have on the international side, particularly into Cape Town, really a boom. It's been fantastic. Room rates, occupancies, all doing very, very well. So good recovery in that side of the business. And even business now start to recover in the Sandton node. We're doing a lot better and basically very, very close to pre-pandemic levels in sort of Sandton node, which has been one that's taken a lot longer to recover than others.
That sounds like good news. And I'm just keen to understand how big that gap is in terms of pre-pandemic levels to where we are now.
Pretty close to the same, particularly Sandton. I think ourselves personally, we are up on pre-pandemic levels at places like Sun City, as well as the Table Bay. Table Bay, I think the amount of foreigners that come back, which is very exciting, has actually been much is an improvement.
Mm-hmm. When we do take a look at the hospitality space, a lot of it, as we know, when it comes to driving local tourism, is highly dependent on the macroeconomic environment. But we also know when it comes to attracting foreign travellers, the international rhetoric and geopolitical environment also weighs quite heavily on the attractiveness of a destination. Given the noise, as I'd like to describe it, that we see in the news head flow regarding South Africa and some of our international relations, how are you reading the room in terms of outlook to attract international travellers to the country and largely to your establishments?
I think this whole geopolitical landscape is quite hard to read and understand. But what we have seen in early signs, and I've spoken to a few tour operators, that the US market booking into South Africa is definitely on the decline. But having said that, the Canadian market's on a significant decline straight to the US. And I think even Europe's going to start looking for alternate destinations as opposed to the US. So I think that internally, the US could face some problems, and that could open up some avenues for us to take increased travel from Europe, as well as sort of the East in terms of China as our visa opens up, and India. So difficult to say exactly where it lands, but I think there's opportunity here. While we might lose a bit from the US, there are other markets we can tap. And I think those markets might grow as a consequence of what's happening in the political environment. Mm.
Outlook, of course, Mr. Leeming. And maybe I'm keen to understand if there are any acquisitions you might be looking to pick up in the short to medium term.
The thing is, you know, we've got the Pearman acquisition that's going before the tribunal in June. So with that one in on the, you know, at the fore, there's very little we're going to be doing right now, given the size of it. And we'll wait for the tribunal hearing to see whether they approve or not. Obviously, there was a prohibit recommendation from the Competition Commission, and we're waiting to see what happens there. So until that, probably not much. But on the expansion side, we're certainly looking at taking Sunbet into Africa. We just launched in Botswana, and we are looking at other few key African countries to take the product further. So that's quite exciting. But yeah, otherwise, I think until Pearman happens, we're not sure. We won't be doing too much.
Got you. Just to piggyback on the Africa expansion. Funny enough, a moment ago we spoke to the group CEO of MTN, and as we know, currency devaluations have been quite prominent in certain regions and markets. Is that playing any influence in the countries you've identified to expand into?
No, I think, you know, from a sort of our side, it's not a significant capital investment required, so we don't see it as a major. So the currency can weaken, it might reduce what you take from the prior year. But ultimately, it should all add to the bottom line. So other than some volatility in your earnings results, it shouldn't really hit any asset values, which is quite key. I think MTN, with all their infrastructure and towers, probably hurts a bit more. And obviously, a significant portion of the revenue coming from offshore, which then hurts results really bad. We don't see Africa becoming the size of the African business, so we don't see it being as big an influence on our bottom line.
Got you. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Mr. Leeming. Looking forward to all the growth and many more concerts at Times Square in Pretoria.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So have a wonderful evening. That's Anthony Leeming, the CEO of Sun International, joining us this evening, giving us some insight into their numbers. Next time you drive past the Maslow, Sun City, Grand West, and even Times Square, these are just a few of the establishments that fall under the umbrella. So really making it practical in terms of the experience. The sweet spot in the numbers, though, has to be Sunbet. 60% growth to 1.2 billion in terms of income that's been reported there. So South Africans, you're definitely betting. Let me know. Let me know what that behavior tells us about you. But of course, as long as you're doing so responsibly, that becomes incredibly important.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.